This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Rich Bradbury, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is Friday, the 5th of August, 12:05, here in the studio, coming up to 12:06. I'm in the studio with...
Lily Chai.
Friday, indeed. And if you want to get in touch with our show today, the number to get us on is...
01... No, don't call us on that.
01878988899. Lily, well done, fail. If you want to get us on Twitter, we're at BFM Radio.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
See,
I wanted to do that.
That's easier, right? Anyway, today's topic of discussion, we're talking about data recovery, how clean is your data, cyber attacks, data backups. And while many organizations are growing aware of the threat of cyber attacks and are strengthening their security, a successful attack is often almost inevitable, resulting in system downtime, loss of customer trust, and most critically, loss of important data. That's why data backup and recovery is considered a crucial part of cyber hygiene. However, over 40% of Malaysian businesses don't practice this. We'll be hearing from Sandy Wu. She is the country director of Veritas Technologies to understand the importance of data backups and recovery, as well as how it can help businesses. Now, back in March, Malaysia's Home Minister Hamzah Zainuddin mentioned cybersecurity as being Malaysia's top concern due to the rising reports of online crimes. Up to February of this year, there have been 3,273 cases reported, with an estimated loss of around 114 million ringgit. And as new technologies evolve, so does the methodology by which these crimes are perpetrated. And keeping up with these changes has been a challenge. And also, the minister also added, the ASEAN region is at the moment facing a diverse range of threats that is significantly more than at any point in history.
In line with the rest of the world, Malaysians have become more reliant on the internet and digital technology, of course, due to the pandemic. And the more hours we spend being online, the more we're at risk of being targeted by cyber criminals. And these cyber threats have evolved to become more sophisticated than before. They pose serious risks to individuals, businesses, and even national security. According to a survey done by Trend Micro Incorporated, most organizations in Malaysia believe they might be attacked within the next 12 months. The cybersecurity space is becoming more challenging with the increasing advancement in information and communications technology. Cybersecurity Malaysia's economy CEO, Dato' Amiruddin Abdul Wahab has mentioned that there is no such thing as being 100% immune from cyber attacks due to its ever-changing nature of the internet. And the only thing that we can do, which is the most important part, is to prepare for these attacks. Organizations or businesses need to strategize and implement security measures to lessen the impacts of cyber attacks. Data backup, for instance, and recovery is a crucial part of cyber hygiene. However, over 40% of Malaysian businesses do not practice this. He also mentioned that the need to know how to act and recover after facing such cyber breaches. And in this regard, there is still room for improvement within organizations in Malaysia. There is also a need to cultivate a cyber environment that is secure, resilient, and trusted. The approach to addressing cybersecurity also has to be adaptive, dynamic, and innovative to keep up with the evolving threat. And it should encompass people, processes, and underlying technologies.
Now, cyber attacks can come in many shapes and forms. Cyber fraud, such as phishing, which is common in credit card fraud. Malware attacks like viruses, worms, trojans, spyware, rootkits, etc. are also a danger, especially when removable media such as flash drives are used to pass data around on organization computers. That used to be a big issue here, actually. In BFM, we would pass around shows and music that we were using from one another on these USB flash drives. And over time, you kind of have to realize, that's just a stupid thing to be doing, especially when we have like an infrastructure that relies on, you know, the IT that we have here anyway. But ransomware attacks, which of course lock data on the infected computers unless a ransom is paid, and famous attacks are the WannaCry one back in 2017, Locky in 2016. Other things like deployment of denial of service attacks, DDoS, which can shut down networks of an entire organization. And out-of-date unpatched software can also allow hackers to exploit vulnerabilities on installed software. So make sure you patch your software, folks. Also, if you're using software that perhaps you obtained from somewhere else is often one of the major concerns. And there are a lot of companies, believe it or not, here in Malaysia and elsewhere, that rely on software that they perhaps didn't buy legally.
Yeah.
Now, there are a variety of ways cyber breaches can impact a business, of course, starting off with things like increased costs. So companies that want to protect themselves from cyber criminals will have to pay for the added security. Being the victim of an attack can also potentially incur legal fees and damages due to civil cases against the company. It'll cause operational disruption. So there's also the indirect cost of cyber attacks, such as interruptions to your normal operations as the company tries to deal with that attack. And this might also result in lost revenue due to things like disruptions.
Mm-hmm. And there might be reputational damage as well.
Yeah.
Companies affected might also find their brand reputation their reputation damage, because customers and vendors, they might think twice about leaving their information with the company that has been hacked. Comparitech, a security research company studying trends on the New York Stock Exchange, found that stock prices of compromised companies fell an average of 3.5% following an attack.
That's interesting.
Right. Speaking about loss of revenue, it is considered one of the worst outcomes of a cyber attack is because you will lose money due to customers going elsewhere to protect themselves. And finally, stolen intellectual property. A company's product designs, tech, and marketing strategies, all of these are confidential information. Imagine that being stolen away and taken away by some other, you know, your enemies, or your competitors. For context, these intangible assets accounted for about 87% of the valuation for S&P 500 companies, according to the Intellectual Property Advisory in 2015.
Now, a quick brief on data backup and recovery. Data backup involves copying and archiving important data in case of data loss or corruption. The three common backup types are full backup, which is the basic and complete backup of all data; incremental backup, which means only data that has changed since the last backup has been copied; and differential backup will copy all changed data from a previous full backup. Now, it's recommended to backup regularly and consistently to minimize data gaps between backups. Having backups ensures that systems can be restored to a prior condition if it has been hit by cyber attacks, hardware failure, or corrupted data. So let's, just before we go to a break here, let's talk about backups first, Lily. You were mentioning off air that you don't trust the cloud, or rather you.
I don't trust the physical hard drives.
The physical hard drive.
Right?
Sorry,
because it happened to me where my phone and the hard drive, just one day it magically and miraculously everything just disappeared in one night.
Right.
And I felt that, you know, then everything that I have backed up in the cloud, they're still there.
Right.
But everything in the hard drive is gone, and including the WhatsApp messages in my phone. Everything was wiped out completely. I don't know what happened, but I went to check and they told me it's like a virus that attacked my phone or whatever. I have no idea what happened there. But I do know what happened to my hard drive, though. It's kind of like my schools, they do not use... actual legal way to obtain the softwares that are installed in our schools. Maybe they had the impression that, you know, we're just schools, right? We don't do businesses, so it's not as risky. So that happened. We passed around our projects, our assignments to our friends, our schools, desktops as well. And I think there, in between, something
for
happened.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Most likely what's going to happen.
Yeah,
so your backup process now is what? What do you
just
do
cloud,
now?
Just the cloud.
Just the cloud.
Yeah.
I mean, For years, I've been practicing safe backups. So I back up generally in three places. I have it in the cloud, I have it on my laptop, and then I have it on another place as well. So I've always got access to three different types of backup. And that's because I had experiences like you. I've had stuff disappear, from whether it be from my hard drive breaking or, you know, problems with the cloud. Right. So having it in three different places, it has always been something over the past 10 years that I've been quite good with. Less so now, though, that we've become a lot more reliant on the cloud.
You know?
And I know people that only back up in one place and it's only to the cloud. And I keep having to remind
them that's just me.
Well, we'll get to that, but we will be hearing from an expert, of course. Sandy Wu, the country director of Veritas, Veritas Technologies. She'll be with us just after the break. We are going to take a short break for some messages and a song or two. When we come back, we'll be asking why is backup and recovery often overlooked and a whole bunch of other questions. So stick with us. We'll be back in just a few moments here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Backing female ministers. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Lily Chai.
We are talking about stuff like whether or not organizations are growing more aware of the threat of cyber attacks and are they strengthening their security? Because a successful attack for a lot of these companies is almost inevitable, resulting in things like system downtime, loss of customer trust, and most critically, important data. And this is why data backup and recovery is considered a crucial part of cyber hygiene. But we've just been hearing about over 40% of Malaysian businesses don't practice this. So on the phone line with us right now, we have Sandy Wu. She's the country director of Veritas Technologies. Hi there, Sandy. How are you doing?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Jeremy. Hi.
You can hear us okay, can you, Sandy?
Yes, loud and clear.
Good stuff. Let's kick off with a fairly simple question then, I suppose, is why is backup and recovery often overlooked when it comes to cybersecurity practices?
I beg to differ, Jeremy. In fact, with the prevalence of cyber attacks and, both yourself and Lily had actually set the context, in such a great way. I don't think it's a topic that is overlooked now. Probably overlooked 5-6 years back. Mm-hmm. But as we have progressed, in the era of digital transformation, we have witnessed, so many different high-profile breaches that can, literally bring down companies, overnight. I feel that the backup and the recovery strategy is really a part of the board discussion and agenda. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to cybersecurity, probably they would think that the backup and the recovery is at the tail end of any form of planning or in the devising on the strategy. But I feel that it should be looked at a very holistic way. Mm. Yeah, so backup and recovery and the restoration of the systems and the data, it should be a part and parcel of the cybersecurity strategy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's extend on this a little bit. Could you give us an idea of how backup and recovery can be effectively implemented in businesses and organizations?
Well, this is a topic that will probably require a one full day, but I'll try to put it in a more simplified manner. Any form of implementation for backup and recovery should start with a very meticulous planning and execution and a review cycle. And this will be a very much a continuous cycle in order to get any form of organization, be it the government or be it the any form of businesses, to be better prepared, right? So the first thought in our mind is always that to stay paranoid, that you get attacked, in any point in time, right? It's not a matter of when you will get attacked. You will get attacked, right? It's not why. So a lot of thoughts that have to be given when it comes to the planning. And you are right when you say that it involves a lot of talent, right? The people and the process and the technology. You might have a very good, and very advanced set of technologies and tools, but if you don't have the people, the talent, and the processes to govern, the implementation, right, the whole thing will be gone wasted.
Mm.
And one of the key things that I feel that we always miss a step in the planning was to have a very clear understanding on the current posture, on where your data is hosted,
right,
and what kind of workload or capacity, you know, and the growth that the business is generating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a full visibility of everything in your environment? What is the complexity, right? Be it hosted in the edge, right, in all our mobile devices, right, to the data center and the core platforms that we host. And now we have even a more, you know, big giant to tackle, right, the topic surrounding cloud.
Mm.
Right? So the attackers are mainly looking at the weakest areas, right, especially those we call it dark places,
yep,
you know, where you may have limited security or oversight. Right? That's why it's also vital to implement tools such as Veritas Data Insights that give you a full awareness on your data, right? Be it, you know, redundant or obsolete or trivial data. And this is an interesting area because we think that by not knowing what you have, apart from having wastages to host the data, it's also a pose, also a surface for the attackers, right, to target.
Right.
So I think this is one of the 1-2 tips, yeah, from Veritas.
And so let's kind of look at some of the things where do organizations then, when they are trying to attempt to include backup and recovery practices into their workflow, where do they go wrong sometimes?
Missing of the steps, it can be a lot of things because the complexity, you know, to operate the entire infrastructure, to keeping up the application and the systems up, right to the level of, you know, having the right talent and appointment of the right suppliers or the vendors to help you to upkeep, right, the safety of the data.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of businesses that I know, it can be quite complex in the very huge organizations, right, in the oil and gas, utility, the banking sector, right, the healthcare, where it's a lot of crucial data being hosted. And it's also highly governed by the regulators in their own industry.
Mm.
They probably have a set of the long checklists to follow and best practices to refer to. But how about the SMI, SMEs, right? The 50% of the entire economy players where they have very limited access, right, to talent or funds to really look into this.
Mm.
Now, I think there are various ways to tackle these issues. And it's really whether, you know, the owners of the business and the stakeholders are doing the right thing to prepare, right? The entire strategy is really to keep the business continuous, having less implications on customer experience issues and the ability to restore and get back up, you know, when you have, you know, any outages in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm. Can you share with us why is it important for businesses to have the right procedures in place when it comes to backup, data backup and recovery? And what are the benefits there?
Well, it's important in a sense that it's my opinion. I feel that a lot of people think that backup and restoration is just like a, you know, it's a button away and it's automated. At the moment, it's not as easy as it seems, right? From an operations and risk perspective, there are many areas that is required to enable a full or successful backup, right? And the true test of the backup investment lies in the ability to restore when any level of outages that happen. So the missing link is always like, you know, how often do we have other businesses test or, you know, having the drills to enable the DR, the disaster recovery, right, we call it. So it is important. So it shouldn't be an afterthought. So the recovery and the backup should go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold that thought then. We're just going to take a short break, Sandy. We're on the phone with Sandy Wu. She's the country director of Veritas Technology. We're talking about how important it is to back up your data and indeed recover your data after you've backed it up in case something does go wrong. If you want to join the conversation, get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We're on Twitter, of course, as well, at BFM Radio. Music coming up from The Jam here on Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Lily Chai.
Now, while many organizations are growing aware of the threat of cyber attacks and are strengthening their security, a successful attack is almost inevitable, resulting in system downtime, loss of customer trust, and most critically, loss of important data. This is why data backup and recovery is considered a crucial part of cyber hygiene. However, over 40% of Malaysian businesses don't practice this. We're on the phone with Sandy Wu. She is the country director of Veritas Technologies. She's going to help us understand the importance of data backups and recovery, as well as how it can help businesses. Sandy, thank you very much for sticking on the phone line with us. Can we carry on now? Are you ready? Yes, excellent. Sure. Right. Now, there are undoubtedly, as you mentioned, smaller businesses that can't invest in their backup and recovery procedures to safeguard themselves against cyber threats. What can they do to help minimize the damage in case of a cyber attack?
Thanks, Richard, and thanks, Lily, as well, having me here. So for smaller businesses, the SMI, SMEs, I would think there's still ways for them to protect and also to detect, right, the areas of risk for cyber attack for them. Mm. As you know, for SMEs, there's a lot of reliance for their business to be hosted on the cloud, mainly because of the ease of the agility and also the speed of light in setting up applications and systems. Again, I would call out to the SMI, SMEs, to have the right research, right amount of research to look into the model on businesses that can provide as a service, to safeguard their data, right? So we do have a lot of options in the market today, even though your data is being hosted in the cloud, right, in a SaaS manner. There's a lot of responsibilities for them to know that everything on the cloud is not backup fully. Right, and that's number one. And if you look at the retention of the data, some of the contractual TNCs in the documentation, it's not a full backup, and it doesn't guarantee a full recovery as well. Right, so if for SMI, SMEs, right, to really research into this, select a vendor that can provide a managed service. At the subscription level, right, in order to provide an adequate level of cyber hygiene, right, for their business.
Mm. Mm. Okay, with over 79% of Malaysian organizations having reported experiencing cyber attacks, what are some of the common forms of cyber attack experienced by businesses?
The ones that we always hear will be ransomware. But it's all interrelated, right? The fact that we have the social engineering issue and the phishing incidents that's happening. The users are not aware about it until a perpetrator uses a legit ID, a user ID and password to gain access, right? And typically there are some malware that take time for them to explode, right, into an attack. Right, so the ability for businesses to counter all this is really to have the latest and the greatest technology in the market. Right, so do you know that today, even in some of the backup software, typically in Veritas, right, so we do provide malware scanning as well, and also important for businesses today to really understand that there are AI and machine learning capabilities in most of the cybersecurity products and also backup solutions. So in in a way that, you know, it actually helped to solve, you know, some of these issues of intensive labor in doing, you know, even the backup operations and to also ensure the data integrity is in place. So again, my take on this is that for those companies that fail to look into orders, you are really exerting a lot of risk into your business. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, as we've been speaking about, we know backup and recovery are, you know, crucial. But we're also hearing that there are companies who don't even bother doing it. You know, why do you think they don't do it? Is it just simply a case of they think it's too complicated? They think it might be too expensive? Just why?
Well, it's a mixture of both. But I guess, Richard, this is also my question that I've been asking. Like, why do you not care, like, about your data?
Yeah.
And, you know, how can you sleep at ease at night? Well, I think awareness, right, and the overconfidence that whatever, you know, security products that you have in place is good enough to protect. But again, you know, to be paranoia about your business, right, which is the key principle in driving the success, is really not to expose any risk, right? Mm-hmm. So again, I go back to my earlier statements, right? It's really a matter of when you get attacked, right?
Or yeah.
Not about whether you will
not
be attacked
if it's,
or not.
It's yeah. a when, right?
Yeah, it's a when. And it's really about, you know, having the mindset, you know, to be prepared, you know, in any form of outages of your business, right? Mm-hmm. So again, you know, there's a lot of sharing in this topic and area. In fact, the recovery part is something that I feel is not being practiced in a drill format, right? So if you want to better prepare for disaster recovery, even in the event of no attack, right, you have to do some simulation. And I think it's mandated to a lot of corporations, right, for those who are highly regulated, right, in the area of telcos, the banking sectors, the healthcare. You know, having the frequent drills of non-intrusive kind of DR practices will help you to better prepare right, in the event of a cyber attack.
Mm-hmm, yeah. mm-hmm. Mm.
So based on your shared statistics that over 3,000 reported cases of cyber attacks, right, are you able to give us a rough breakdown of the industries that are most affected by this?
Well, I believe it's more than 3,000, and these are the reported ones, right? So I can't really imagine for those staggering statistics for those unreported ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Again, a lot of reports and also surveys have done, you know, and every quarter you will see new releases. I think literally all will be impacted, but a lot of high-profile breaches happen to the, you know, corporations that really holds a lot of valuable data in the likes of banking industry, for example. It contains a lot of credit card information, personal user data, for example, and in healthcare as well. You have a lot of clinical research data, for example, and patient records, right? And even if you look at government, you know, cyber warfare, interstate, you know, is also a very interesting area to look at, and how can we safeguard the data so that the attackers, you know, will not be able or easily, you know, get into the environment, right, and get the whole systems down.
Okay, just before we wrap up then, Sandy, I mean, you know, final thoughts on this as well. Is did you see numbers change and shift during the pandemic as well? Did the numbers go up and the numbers come down? Because, of course, we know a lot of people were working from home, and even sectors like the banking sector, a lot of people were still working from home then, and, of course, they're using their own unsecured networks to do work on it at the beginning before everybody kind of got into place and figured out that they needed to be safer. Did you see how did the numbers shift during that period?
Well, unfortunately, the numbers have grown exponentially ever since the COVID pandemic that impacted every one of us. You know. And the shift towards, you know, having the data being hosted into various platforms and at the edge, right, it means that it's even, you know, more difficult, right, for businesses to govern and mm-hmm. also to monitor, you know, any sort of leakages, right? Mm. So that they have to implement more measures to ensure that, you know, there's a stricter way of, you know, hosting the data, for example, right? Mm, mm. So there are a lot of new ways and new norms when it comes to cyber security or, you know, combating all these attacks, right? Mm. So in Veritas, we typically believe in what we call the 3-2-1 backup strategy, right? So at least three sets of your data or two copies in the different storage types, and one copy offsite, right? Mm. So, and to add one more, one insight is to ensure that there's also a copy that is immutable, right? Mm-hmm. Indelible data. Mm. So that in the event that you are, you know, having a data loss, you can recover all this data. And to have to ensure that this data also, you know, is in the right integrity form. Mm. Right? You wouldn't want to, you know, spin up again the data that is a compromise, right? So it's as good as like, you know, activating another set of cyber attacks in a new environment. And also like Richard, the fact that you shared that, you know, there's really a need to look into a frequent upgrade, you know, when it comes to all your systems and software.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it will patch all the vulnerabilities, you know, and the bugs, right? Last but not least, really to look into the testing and the validation of the DR plan.
And stuff like zero trust as well is something that's become a big thing, hasn't it, over the last couple of years?
Yes.
Yeah.
So zero trust is actually a framework or the mindset to assume that, you know, you shouldn't trust any form of access, right? So there must be a stricter way of encrypting your data, ensuring that the identity access management is done correctly, right? So, and all these form of architecting and designing in the systems, even in the backup platform, is really to ensure that, you know, the attack surface will be minimized. So it's only a handful of vendors that will look into a zero trust, you know, architecture.
Right.
When it comes to doing backup and restoration. So Veritas is one of them.
Okay. Sandy, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to both of you. Thanks so much, Richard and Lily.
Thank you.
I remember your name, yes.
That's okay. The pleasure's been all ours. That, of course, was Sandy Wu, the country director of Veritas Technology. We are going to wrap up for today's show, though. Of course, it is Friday. We've got to get moving. You guys, I'm sure, have got all plans for your weekend. But we'll be back on Monday, same time, same place, at noon. And, of course, we've got more stuff lined up for you coming up after the 1 o'clock news, including the Breakfast Grill replay. What tools can government and financial institutions use to combat things like inflation? And is a recession unavoidable? Philip C. this morning spoke with Professor Steve Keane, the author of The New Economics, about creating alternative and realistic economics for a world that's trying to recover from the effects of the pandemic. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. Music to take us up to the top of the hour then. We've got some music from Jack White with I'm Shaking. On behalf of myself and Lily, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.